Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So I'll stand if you will. Let's go before you in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we gladly gather, Lord, in your precious holy name this evening, Lord. We just love and appreciate you. Lord, there's just something, that little wheel in the middle of the wheel, Lord, just draws us to you, Lord. And we love you and appreciate you with all our hearts. Lord, we came to sing a few praise songs, Lord, and worship songs to you. Sing about our heavenly home, Lord, that you have prepared for us. And then, Lord, we ask for revelation of thy word, Lord, more than anything in this life. Lord, we just love and appreciate you. Prepare us now, Lord, for your glory, your honor. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Only Believe book, page 22. 22. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me. Same book. Amen. Looking forward to that meeting in the air. Amen. You have heard of little Moses in the bullrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord prepared for us. Amen. Let's think of this little song. The capstone book. Can't remember the page. Amen. Yeah. Can't get the name up to come to me either. Amen. Take a gospel ship is what it is. Amen. 63, you mean? 53. 53 in the capstone books. Amen. Just listen to the words in this song. Amen. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. Oh, my joy is with you, I'll share. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until heaven, when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Amen. I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until heaven when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. If too much fault you find, you'll sure be left behind. Amen. Glory. In the good old gospel ship, I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring, when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm to shout and sing until the heavens ring. Got a lot to sing about, a lot to shout about now. Amen. He's been good to us. Amen. Brother Settles, would you take up the offering tonight?
Amen.
Bid this old world goodbye. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative for all you've done for us.
Yes.
Lord, and truly, when we sing the songs of Zion, and Father, what's waiting for us, Lord? Lord, just a breath away. Lord, the many promises that you've given us. And Lord, we can just see the signs of the times and how it's drawing nearer and nearer. Lord, it just makes us anxious. Father, Lord, may we check ourselves. Get ready, Lord. Lord, as that little bride was, Father, expecting to see her bridegroom coming together.
Amen.
Lord, may we be anticipating your coming. Bless us now. Bless each and every one, Lord, tonight. Meet our individual needs and bless this offering that you may get the glory and the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask in your precious name.
Amen. Amen. I believe God. I believe God. Amen. Ask what you will. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey. Believe what I say, amen.
I believe God.
Oh, I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are, Lord, we're so blessed, Lord, to stand here, Lord, with any kind of desire in our heart, Lord, to serve you and to, Lord, just to do what you have for us in our life, Lord. Lord, why on this journey, Lord, in this life on earth, Lord, we have many needs that arise. Lord, none that you don't know about already, Lord. But Lord, we ask you to meet each need tonight by, Lord, your perfect will. Lord, according to your will, Lord, what you have seen for us and our journey, Lord, to get us where we want to go, Lord, where we need to go with you. Lord, we just appreciate all our tests and trials, everything you put us through, Lord, to see that next step, to take that next step, Lord, the faith to take that step. Lord, we just appreciate you and we love you with all our hearts, Lord, and we know you're going to take care of us all the way. Lord, regardless of what happens, Lord, you're going to take care of your little bride, Lord. You're going to give her the word she needs to take that step. And we're just so appreciative. Lord, we put all our confidence in you, Lord. Lord, we believe you. We believe your word. Lord, we trust and obey everything that you do, Lord, is for your glory and your honor for us, Lord. Just have your way in the remainder of the service, Lord. We ask that, Lord, you just open our understanding, Lord, to the words that comes forth tonight, Lord. It's more important than anything in this life. Lord, we just so thankful. So thankful, Lord, that we can have the desire to sit here, Lord, and to hear thy word. And Lord, to translate, to transfer it, Lord, in our lives and everyday lives. Lord, we get out of bed every morning, Lord, and we want to do your will, Lord. That's a special desire, Lord, that not many people have in this life. In this world of cosmo and gain. Lord, we're just so appreciative. Lord, even if we have a desire to get rid of more, Lord, to pick up our cross daily and follow you. Lord, let that be in each and every heart. Lord, we just appreciate everything you've done for us. Lord, we just give it all unto you, Lord, and ask you to have your preeminence now. We'll give you all the precious glory and honor that's due unto you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anybody got a song in their heart tonight? Special one?
He walked this life so that he might understand what it would be like to be a mortal man. He has compassion. He knows just how you feel. There were times he wondered what his next meal would be. So many times that his body was so tired and weak. He conquered for you. He's waiting to be touched by faith. So reach out and touch him. There is nothing that would please him more than if you would reach out today. There's nothing too big, nothing too small. He understands. He went through it all. He's there. So touch him by faith. He sat by the wayside, held his head in his hands. He felt the aches and pains of a mortal man. He understands it. He knows what you're going through. So when it feels like your heart is ready to break, you cry, dear Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. He's right beside you. He's waiting to be touched by faith. So reach out and touch him. Touch him by faith. There is nothing that would please him more than if you nothing too big, nothing too small. He understands. He went through it all. He's there to heal. He's there to save. So touch him by
our pastor comes in. Amen. Slip my mind here. Amen. Yes. In Jehovah, or Lord God Almighty. Presence. Amen. The presence of Jehovah. Amen. In the
heads bowed. Precious, precious Lord, how we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to be gathered in this little building, Lord. The weather outside may be a little rough, but Lord, I'm so thankful again for what you place in the inside of a heart of men and women. A desire, Lord, that cannot be explained oftentimes. A desire that's not understood. But yet, Lord, this desire from you, Lord, is so precious. We came here again this evening asking you to speak to us through the Word of God. And asking, Lord, that you would open our understanding to something that it may be something we're falling short of. That, Lord, maybe we don't quite grasp it. Maybe we haven't quite understood. But may you take these few words tonight and Lord, just let it find a good ground in our heart. That it'll grow and mature. But Lord, we know we're in those last moments of time where we must be mature sons and daughters of God. We must come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. We must come to the unity of the faith. And without your help, Lord, we'll never reach it. So we're asking you, Lord, to come down tonight and be in our hearts and or even our ears to be able to hear. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit quicken it in our hearts. We ask that now, Lord, that you'd have your way. Bless each one, Lord, that's made the effort to be here this evening. And bless those that couldn't be here. And may you get the glory and the praise and honor through everything that's said. In your holy, precious name we ask, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it a privilege to be here tonight? Amen. I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Amen. I really don't know what I'm going to speak on for sure tonight. I just hate it when so many can't be here and can't hear these things. And I know some will not get the messages and listen to them. I know that. I know it goes on. But I just trust that somehow, if those that can't be here, or maybe even sitting here, trust something will take something in the heart and turn it to the direction it needs to be turned to. See? But let's read here in Philippians 3. Let's read a very familiar scripture. Let's just begin here about the seventh verse. Apostle Paul here speaking. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. May God bless reading his word. You may be seated. Amen. So again, we appreciate God's precious word. And I was thinking about this a little bit ago and thinking of the true experience that Apostle Paul had with Christ and how it was such a reality to him to have this relationship with God through Christ that he could count all things loss to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Excellency. It's so great and so perfect and so right. There's nothing better to have that than to have that. There's just nothing more important in life, you know. And I was thinking about that message last Thursday night, and as after bringing that message, I just felt like I just couldn't feel relieved in the Holy Spirit that I'd went far enough with it. And I think maybe that's what we'll speak some more things tonight. I got different things with me tonight, but I think that's what we'll bring forth. But anyhow, I just want you to pay attention to Paul there, what he said, and how he was able to count all things but loss. And it was as dung. Now that's pretty low. See, dung is the waste that our body makes. It's the waste that animals make. And it's pretty well just about spin itself out and doesn't have much left in it, you know. It's just no good for us now. How he must have thought how worthless those things that was lost was. He didn't have to battle within himself to constantly, oh, this is precious to have this. This material things is this. I'd sure like to have a lot of money here to do this, this, that. You could tell he was really sincere and honest to be able to count all things in his past, things he could gain, things he could have had offered to him. And he knew if he would have took the way of man's carnal ways and not have received Christ, why, he could have followed right in the steps of those highest of Pharisees. You know, he was well thought of and a very smart person. And I'm sure he could have worked himself up to the ranks that everybody would have looked up to him. You know, everybody would have seen how important he could have been or would have been, you know, if he'd have changed or took that way of a carnal way of thinking. But God had different plans for him. And I want you to notice this, how he feels about losing all these things and count it but loss and count it as dung, is after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, and that's what happens to a man or woman that's truly filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the things of this world truly, honestly, grow strangely dim. And sometimes when we're younger, sometimes those things doesn't seem as easy to grow dimmer, you know, as not a necessity, and you don't desire this, and you don't covet this, and covet that. Seem like when you're youth, it's more easier to covet. It's more easier to desire things in life, and to gain great positions, and to have great outcomes for our fleshly life, and carnal things, you know. It seems to that the younger want that more. But it seems like as a man or woman becomes older and becomes wiser, and if Christ is within them, my, how things begin to change. They don't have the goals that they used to have when they was young for material things. They don't have the goals in life that they want to become this and become that. It becomes more of a thing than true honesty. They know they're there to just serve God, and that's it. But a young person can experience the same thing. I'm talking also in the 20s, 30s. Yeah, they can experience the same thing if they can truly have Christ within them. Because it's Christ within them that will cause the things of this life become strange and become dim to them. Instead of bright and shiny, longing for it, you know. You know, some people long for a beautiful, fancy home. You know, they want everything just so-so. Some long for a beautiful, fancy automobile. Some long for different things, many lands and properties to own. Different things in life, you see. And to them, their mind is engulfed with it. Their life is engulfed with it. And then when the things in life come along that's really maybe somebody in need or somebody that needs a hand or somebody that needs a little help with this certain thing, or maybe a little prayer for them, it's hard for them to catch those opportunities because they're so entangled with the affairs of this life, you know. And they're warring with it, and they get inside to where they're so completely compelled by the material things of life and the wanting of it, you see. I believe we can see here a true example. Paul lost all that. Yeah. He had found his place with Christ being in him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that he knew he was in life for a purpose, and that was to serve God. And that was to be the most important thing in his life. The most important thing. The most important one. The most important duty that he had in life was to serve God. And who gave him that? God himself. It was a God-given desire. It was a God-given drive and ambition. The same he does for every born-again son or daughter of God. It's given from God. And so special. It is so precious to have in this day and age, you know. As the prophet said, I'm going to read this just to renew our minds back to what we read last Thursday night. This was in the Church Age book again, paragraph 239. I'll skip a little bit because save a little time for this evening because I read this last Thursday night. For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches. Soft living. Now pay attention to that because I want to bring it out a little further this evening. And nervous tensions. You ever seen people so nervous in all your life? I'm telling you, it's like they were saying, stop and smell the roses. You know, quit being so involved in your daily cares. Amen. Yeah, things have to happen. Yeah, things you have to work. You have to do this. But some people just get so engulfed with it that life loses its meaning, especially Jesus Christ in their life, what it's supposed to be. Amen. And their nervous tensions begin to express, and they become fidgety. Their body shows the expression of nervousness and tensions within. You can't hide it, you see. And in a complex age that we seem unfitted to live in, seems to be so unfitted for the bride of Jesus Christ, for a Christian, to have to live in such an age in which we live. It seems so unfitted for it. Why would this have to be for God to send his bride down in this last day, give her a message that takes care of all the questions and wonders and problems, and gives her all this, and yet have to live in such a nervous, complex age? And again, I'll read the meaning of it because I wrote down here again. The complex means a group of repressed desires that exerts a dominating influence upon the person. Yeah. It actually dominates the person. This complex age in which we live. And it's become an age where everything has to be precise. Everything has to be to make it easier for people. That's why they always make new products. That's why they build automobiles that has more options on it. It's more at ease. Makes it easier to use. Makes it more simple to use. To the point they're coming to the point, as the prophet prophesied of it, automobiles that would drive themselves. You see? Everything at ease. So that while they are in the automobile, they can play cards, they can have pleasure, while in the automobile. Instead of concentrating on where they're going and what's around them and everything, so they can have pleasures. It'd be more easy for them. They can sit back and sleep. They can do different things. That's more easier for the flesh. They build fancier sewing machines, so it's easier to use. A touch here and touch there. Used to, they had to pedal them, you know. And everything is just made so much easier. Air conditioning. Used to be no air conditioning. Went from horse and buggy to automobile. Something a little easier to take care of. Didn't have to hook up horses to go then. But everything's been building up for this age and time which we live and continues to build up. And it brings us more nervous and complex and much tensions in the time which we live. And then it brings it to a point to where we have to struggle because we want these things, so we struggle and we work harder and we try to gain these things. Sometimes because of peer pressure from associates. Sometimes peer pressure from seeing other brothers and sisters in Christ have it and I don't have it. And we'll try to do anything we can to get it so I can feel that I'm in with the groove, you know. Whether you realize it or not, I'm speaking much truth on what I'm saying. If we can only believe what he's going to say in his word. So he also says here in Church Age Book, on paragraph 223, he says, I wanted to give a warning right here. Now, how much more important could something be for God's mouthpiece, which is a prophet that spoke these things, and I'm up here reading it, and he says, I want to give a warning right here. Can I heed the warning? And always remember, God always sends warning before judgment. Is that right? He sure does. But he says, I want to give a warning here. It says concerning the last days that because of abounding iniquity. Now, iniquity, we know what it is. It's known to do good and doeth it not. We know the word of God tells us maybe not to do a certain thing, but we do it anyway. But because the abounding of that known to do good and doeth it not, the love of many will wax cold. Love for what? Love for God. Love for his word. Loving to serve God, loving to do what God wants us to do. In the Laodicean or last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place. I want you to listen to that. Will take the place of the true love for God. Now, could you imagine that? The love for material things take the place of a true love for God. I remember there's a lot that goes with what he just said. When you have a true love for God, why would you ever even want to come close to staying away from him? Why would you want to not study his word and read it? And why wouldn't you want to pray, which is in talking to him? Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to be seeking his will in your life if you really loved him? You know? Of course, it's hard for people to get a grasp, especially without the Holy Spirit. It's so hard for people today in this age to get a grasp on what really love is because love is so fake anymore. You see so many people, a couple that will fall in love and 2 weeks later they get divorced. They don't really know what love is. They've lost the true meaning of it. But love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love is corrective. Love thinketh no evil. Love vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up, is not easily provoked. Oh my. And love endureth all things. Think of that. Now we're talking about a real love. Now there's going to be material things take the place of that kind of love for God. An agape love for God. You see? Something's going to take the place of that. And when it takes the place of that, these material things that's going to do that, it's truly going to get our minds off of it. It's going to get our thoughts away from that true love for God. It'll get us away from seeking first the kingdom. And all these other things shall be added unto you if you do, if you seek first the kingdom. So that love for material things will get us away from that. It'll get us away from that trust in what God will do for us. It'll get us away from that understanding of what God wants to do for us and in us and through our lives. These material things will draw us away from that. And how we must guard against it ever so carefully. Because, as we said last Thursday night, it's so easy to attain now. It's so easy to get, you see, even if we don't have the money. Remember I spoke about the credit cards. It's so easy to get credit anymore. Yeah. And even if you don't have credit, look at the places that you don't have to have a good credit. Just come in and sign papers and you can take it with you. You can buy automobiles in places like that. You can buy furniture in places like that. You can buy carpet in places like that. You can buy new curtains. You can do all kinds of things with even no good credit. They will guarantee you, you can take it home. Yeah, no problem. It's so easy to get. But when has that ever been? In this age only. Oh, in the 50s, you wouldn't do that. No. Not even in the 60s and not even in the 70s. Late 80s, it started to work its way in. In the 90s, it gets more. 2000s, it's really hitting strong. To make it easier. To make our lives easier. To make it more at ease for us, you see. So let me read something else now. This is what the prophet said here. The world is falling apart. Paragraph 62. This was April 12th, 1963. He says, we want everything, just everything so we can take it easy. Again, you've got to remember, God speaking through his mouthpiece. So I don't see Brother Branham. No, I don't even have him in view. I know this is God talking to me. And he has given me warnings for this last day that we must guard against something that's going to happen. You see? We want everything, just everything, so we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. Yeah. Who doesn't want something easy? Who wouldn't want it easy? You know, it's only my to the carnal way of thinking. That's the only way to have it easy. You know? Who wouldn't, Brother Steve, want it easy? He says, life wasn't intended to be easy. What? Life wasn't intended to be easy. You believe that? It's not intended to be easy. And people complain about their tests and their trials, and they ain't got this, and they ain't got this nice, this and that, and as nice as somebody else has got. But it's not intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. What? Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is a struggling. Really? Anything that's got life is struggling? Yeah. Look at the trees. How they struggle. They might be standing there just as pretty as could be. And here comes a strong storm and blows leaves and limbs off of it. And it's trying to hang on, and some of them get knocked down. Then they might be going through droughts. Maybe not have rain for 6 months. Struggling. Then rains may come and not stop raining. Then the ground is so loose and they fall over. Constantly struggling. Anything that's got life. Look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. Oh, come on, Rusty. What about the fishies in the ocean? Look at them struggle. Any moment, something bigger than they are can come by. Eat them up. And they struggle to stay away from danger. Constant struggle. Struggling from man's pollution. Plastics thrown in the ocean. Oil spills. Allergies that cuts off the oxygen and kills them. Struggling. Anything that has life struggles. Plant your garden, it'll struggle. It may not have rain for weeks. And the leaves begin to wrinkle and shrink. And then it may just not stop raining, and then the plants turn yellow and the lack of oxygen in the soil. Constantly struggling. Yeah. Our children, when they're born, life is a struggle. Diseases, sicknesses, accidents, oh, toothaches, tummy aches. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't stop as long as we live in this flesh. Whenever there's life, there's a struggle. Don't forget it. It wasn't meant to be easy. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. It's not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be easy to go to your job and think everything's going to go just smoothie, and no problems, no tests, no trials, nobody getting angry, and nobody saying things around you that's filthy and trying to tell dirty jokes. All that. It's not meant to be easy. No. Not at all. And you young people remember that. As you begin to grow up, life ain't meant to be easy. So don't get it in your head that it's going to be easy. Ain't nothing going to be easy. No. He said, look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. And when we try to get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we're wrong. And we know there's something wrong. Yeah. You think we're supposed to go without tests and trials? You think it's supposed to go easy? No. It's supposed to be more precious than gold to you. Because it's trying your faith. And you can see the experience of it trying your faith, these tests and trials coming to you. And it's trying you, and you can see it with yourself. You have the opportunity yourself to see if you're overcoming or not. And when the tests and trials come, and you can see by God's grace you overcome that thing, victory is yours. Without a struggle, there's no victories. Is that right? If we had no struggles, we would have no victories. But by having struggles and things not being easy, we have victories. Yeah. He says here in the True Easter Seal, paragraph 79, this was April 2nd, 1961, the Christian doesn't ask for easy things. Oh, I wonder how many of us have been guilty of that. I'd sure like to have this way, Lord. I'd sure like to be this way. And I'd sure like for this to just slow down a little bit and people quit give me problems, you know. The Christian doesn't ask for easy things. He says, there's so much promises today made amongst Christian people. So many ministers promise to people a false thing. Yeah. If you just come to Christ, all your troubles are settled. Well, why would I want to be born again then? Well, if you understood, you'd still want to be born again. I'll tell you, when you come to Christ, they just begin. Troubles do. Well, who would want to be a Christian? You're born for it. You've been sent for it. And remember, without problems and troubles, without things as not being easy, you don't know what victory is. Don't forget that. He says, I tell you, he said, when you come to Christ, they begin. That's when you put on the uniform and take the gun and enter the battlefield. This Christian road is not a flower bed of ease. Not for the weak in heart. No. Not to be a Christian. It's not for people that can't take it. It's not for people that get all nervous and all uptight when something goes wrong. No. It's not for people like that. It's not for people that want to give up because things are going bad. It's not for people that they can't get in life what they want. It's not for them. It's for people that can take it. That God sent for a purpose. and he put a part of himself within him. And they've got some real strength about them. And it isn't their strength. It's the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen. The very Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the grave, dwells within them and quickens their mortal bodies by his Spirit. That they too can take whatever is dished out. And I'm going to tell you, friend, there's a lot of things dished out to us in life. But are we able to take it without murmuring and complaining? Or are we expecting easy things, an easy life all the time? Or can we take what comes our way? God gave us examples. Look at Job. Whatever was dished out to Job, Job took it. And guess what? When Job took it, God blessed him with victory. And he got way more than he had before. But God placed something special in Job. The same as he especially placed something in every one of you that believe this. He placed it in your life that you're able to take it. If you can only surrender to it. See, he said, it's a battle from the very hour you start until the day your spirit is set free with death. Yeah, not going to be easy. So why should I go around expecting, because I'm a bride of Jesus Christ, everything ought to be easy for me? We're thinking about it the wrong way. We should be thinking about everything's going to be tough, rough. It's going to be a struggle. But praise God, during the struggle, I can have victory through Jesus Christ. Knowing that he'll provide the need or he'll make the way. He'll turn to channel whichever way it needs to be turned to. He'll make the waves calm. Whatever it may be, I'll see the victory in Jesus. And it'll be true victory. Because by faith and through grace, we overcome the struggles. But thank God for the struggles. Thank God for the tests and trials. But look how often sometimes we can easily so take it when maybe things on the job ain't going right. Yeah. When everybody just seems to hate you and it seems like they just can't get along with you and they just keep wanting to just throw their filth at you. And you get so tired of it. It may be a struggle. But don't forget, when there's a struggle, there's a victory. Amen? Amen? Oh, yes, it is. He says, you are not at no picnic. Not in this life. It's not no picnic. By no means. You're on a battleground. But we are promised things. And don't forget, if we don't have the struggle, you don't know what victory is. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe with all my heart.
Amen.
Let me go on here. Just what time is it? My time's over already. It's been a half hour. Let me read this, and we'll get ready to close. This is 1 Timothy in 6. And we'll read this again, what we read last Thursday. And I didn't get close to where I wanted to go this evening. But anyhow, we're just following what the Lord wants for this evening. 1 Timothy in 6 chapter and 6 verse. But godliness and contentment, again, I tell you what, I think I attached that somewhere here, contentment, the original Greek on that. Yeah, this is it. Contentment is a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Wow, what's going to put me in that position when life's a struggle? Huh? A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed, sufficiency of necessities of life, a mind content with its lot. Contentment. Now read it again. But godliness, that's to be like God, with contentment is a great gain.
Amen.
Wow. Oh, it's a great victory. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Nothing. And having food and raiment. Is everybody here got food? Is everybody got wearing clothes? You probably even got different clothes to change into tomorrow, don't you? Ain't nobody here that doesn't, is there? And I think you all probably have food to eat tomorrow too, don't you? Yeah, I'm sure you do. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Wow. May the power of the Holy Spirit make these things so real in our heart. For the age we live in, when everything is being formed and fashioned to make everything easier. Yeah. But they that will be rich, fall into temptation. Temptation. That is to be tested with disobedience. And a snare, I wrote down, I believe I wrote that down too, snare. Snare is to be whatever brings peril or loss, destruction, of a sudden, unexpected, deadly peril, of an allurements, of seductions, of sin. The allurements to sin by which the devil holds one bound, also the snares of love. So let's read it again. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare. See why I was just saying last Thursday night, I'm talking about my business. I'm not concerning about making big bucks. Nah. It'd just be a snare. A snare. If I can just make it, I'm fine. If I can just make a living off of it, I'm fine. Yeah. And into many foolish, which is unintelligent, and hurtful lust. Yeah. Which drown men or cut life off from them. Drowns them. When you're drowned, you get what? Life cut off. Because you can't oxygen no more. So you can't breathe. You die. And that's what riches does. It'll drown you. It'll cut life off from you. Will drown men in destruction and perdition, which is evil, peril. They'll perish, it'll be waste, you see. For the love of money, didn't say you had to have it, just the love of it. You might only have $1,000 laying in a cupboard somewhere, but your attitude toward that $1,000 can take you to heaven or hell. Amen. One or the other. Yeah. Amen. How precious is it to you? What's it mean to you? Do you want nobody to touch it? You want nothing to happen to lose it? The love of money is the sprouting, which is the root of all. You don't have to have very much of it. You don't have to have any of it. You can take somebody who don't have any, and the love they have to try to get it can kill them. Yeah. Amen. Destroy them and not have a dime. I wonder how much of these things, how many of these things we can pass the test with. And we may think we're Christians. We may think we're the staunchest, finest believers there is that walks the earth. And sinners. Unbelievers. Wow. For the love of money is the root, or that which causes a sprout, of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they desired it. They lust after it. They want to try to get it. Yeah. They have erred. In other words, they have been led away from the truth with error by coveting or wanting it. Have erred from the faith and pierced. In other words, it says in original Greek, tortured their souls. Tortured their souls. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, patience, and meekness. Follow after these things. You see? I'll quit there. Is amen to the word?
Amen.
I trust we all have found something in that, as small as it may seem, to check ourselves with. You know? To make sure everything is just right with God. So just write in material things, carnal things, earthly things. Amen? Amen. I want you sisters to come to the instruments. Praise his wonderful name. I don't know. I may pick it back up Sunday, Lord willing. Who knows? I will until the Lord tells me, okay, that's enough on that one.
Amen.
Amen. But I just couldn't seem to get away from it. And I thought, well, see what the Lord wants for tonight. And I guess that's the way it went. Amen. But just remember, just the love for it can sprout out all kinds of evil things. Yeah. Don't have to be very much of it either. No. Just think of the people that has died over money. Yeah. Just think of the nasty, terrible divorces there's been over money. Just think of the unsettled children and young people there has been because of not having plenty of money and want it. Yeah. Just think of it. Young people that would be discouraged because they didn't have the money that maybe their peers in school had. When God said, be content because you've got food and clothing. Yeah. Be content. And if you want to think about it in another way, there's young people out there that don't have food and clothing. If I've still got down at the house, I don't know if I do, but I've got a magazine. Years, it's an old one. It's an old National Geographic. And it showed people in India at that time. I think the magazine was back in the early 60s, I believe. And it was pictures of people barely even strength to crawl. And you could count every rib in their body. You could count how many bones was in their arms, their fingers. And just enough strength to be crawling, hadn't eaten for weeks, nothing to wear, nothing to wear. And guess what? There's still people like that today throughout the land. Just because you don't see them in front of you, don't mean it isn't happening. How thankful ought to be with food and raiment. Mm-hmm. Then even blessed us to have a roof over our head. Even Jesus Christ himself said, I have no roof. I have no place to lay my head. Yeah. But you can go home tonight and lay your head. Go to sleep. And you're not starving. You'll be able to leave here and get in a nice warm automobile drive home. Yeah. Got a lot of nice things. We've got a lot of things that makes it easy for us. Yeah. We've got washing machines. Great-great-grandmother used to use washboards. Washing a cold creek. Water run down the creek. Hang them out on a line, freeze in the wintertime. Yeah. We have dryers. Washing machines. Home so we can go home and be warm. Yeah. We're well blessed. But in the middle of all that, God is requiring us not to be distracted with it. Not the least bit. Not the least bit. But count it all loss. Count it as done. That Jesus Christ, with excellency, will be the greatest one upon the throne of your heart. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Amen. The Lord of all. Could you imagine that? Him being the Lord of all of our hearts, honestly. In reality, be the Lord of all. Not by what we measure up. Not by what we say, him being Lord of all in our hearts. But what he says is the Lord of all in our hearts. Lord Jesus, help me. Help all of us.
Amen.
I believe we all, if we could understand these things rightly, I'm sure it wouldn't be a one of us sitting here and saying, Lord, I need to climb higher. Amen. I need to climb higher, Lord.
Amen.
You may be poor, but not really, you're not poor. Not really. No. You got your needs met. You're not poor. But thank God for his mercy. May he continue to rewrite my life. Amen. That I'll be more like him. By the time he appears, oh Lord, let me be just like you. Think like you. Talk like you. Everything about me be you, Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's just sing it. Simple little chorus. Jesus be the Lord of all. Amen. Mean it with all your heart, friends. Amen. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Timothy, won't you come up and dismiss us? Amen. Do you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart? Amen. I trust that you will. Trust that you'll have a desire burning your heart to be all that he wants you to be. Amen. And Lord, only increase that desire in my heart, greater and greater. Amen. Come on, Brother Timothy. Amen. Dismiss us. Praise his name. Thank you. Praise his wonderful name.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly do count it a great privilege to have been here this evening. And Lord, just to sit around your precious word, Lord, and to have you talk to our hearts. And Lord, how often it is that, Lord, that you can remind us that our purpose for being here, Lord, is not of this earth. But Lord, you've got so much more that you want for us. And Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, if you take care of the sparrow, how much more would you take care of a little elected gene that you saw before this world was ever formed? Lord, we've got to learn to put our trust in you. And Lord, let you lead and let you guide. And Lord, you'll make the way for the things that we have need of. But Lord, help us to be content with such as we have. And Lord, how I can see in my own life in times past, Lord, I couldn't had that contentment. Lord, I was trying to get. But Lord, how you know when to come by at the right time, Lord, and teach us the lessons that we need to learn. And Lord, may it builds character, Lord, and it molds us. And Lord, we just want you to mold us in your hands, Lord, that we would be that image of what you would have us be in this last age. Lord, that you would be a reflection of you and that you would get the glory and the honor from our lives and everything. Lord, that we would be your victory. And Lord, it would be evident what you have done in our lives. And Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, and some had a desire to be here, Lord, and maybe just couldn't make it. And Lord, we just ask that you would move in a special way. Lord, you know every circumstance. And Lord, those that maybe really didn't desire to be here, Lord, we ask that you place in their heart a greater desire, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Give them what they need, Lord, that will draw them closer unto you. And Lord, bring us back if you should tarry at the next appointed time. We'll never fail to give you all the glory and the honor that's due you. In the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing it. Try to sing that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. I think we know the chorus well enough. I've a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. I've food on my table and shoes on my feet. But the most important, gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. I know I'm not wealthy, and my clothes they're not new. I may not have money, but Lord, I have you, and that's all that matters, though the world may. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. I've a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes. A good place together. Yes, amen. Lord. Come around his precious word. Give us a precious desire. How thankful we ought to be. He gave us his love. Amen. And we see it each time we come in. How thankful we ought to be for what God's done for us, for the peace we have, the joy. even though maybe life doesn't go as it should sometimes, as our brother brought tonight, sometimes it's a real struggle. But thank God for the love that he's shed for us. Amen. Love and appreciate each and every one of you. I ask the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.